Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon and welcome to episode 251 of the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. I'm your host, Harry, joined here today by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be going over a few stories. First of all, the transphobia of lesbians denying sexual access to penis owners. The conservatives and
such
how...
Such a great phrase, isn't it? Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The conservatives and how they love to spend your money, and also what's going on down in down Kentucky way. But before we get into those, we've got a few announcements to make. So first of all, we'd like to point out that we've got this new article that Hugo managed to publish yesterday, why there are shortages everywhere, looking into why you might be going into a local supermarket or something and seeing some empty shelves.
Yeah.
Then we've got a... free video, I think it is. Yep, Critical Race Theory's War of Position, which is Carl's direct video.
Yeah, I'm talking about because I've read the Critical Race Theory Bible, I know what it is they're doing. And one of the things they're doing is an explicitly Gramscian War of Position. So in the video, I explain what a war of position is, as advocated by Gramsci, and show you exactly how Kimberly Crenshaw is advocating for precisely that thing. Critical Race Theory is a tactic, basically. So yeah, explained in the video.
Very interesting. Then we've got a premium video we'd like to pay attention to, which is another one from Carl.
And Thomas.
Oh, and Thomas, yes. Yeah. Critical theories, student activism. I think this is part two.
It is, yeah. We did the critical theory overview, and this is part two of that kind of series on critical theory, because this happens to be Thomas's speciality. And, talking about basically how they weaponized students back in the 30s. And there's nothing new under the sun.
Well, that's interesting, because you hear about the student weaponization in the 60s. I didn't realize it was back in the 30s as well.
It's a continual cycle of left-wing politics.
And
it's exactly the same that's happening now through exactly the same kind of theories. So definitely worth your time.
Give that a check out. And finally, we'd just like to remind everybody of our Gold Tier members that we do have the Gold Tier Zoom call tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. So if you fancy tuning in and having a chat with us, if you've got Gold Tier membership, make sure to check it out.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
Right, so let's get into the stories.
Yeah. Should lesbians have sex with penis owners? Well, some lesbians say no, but that's because they're transphobic. A very, very big kerfuffle has been kicked up about this in Britain, in the sort of British political progressive spaces that are... essentially comes down to a war between the TERFs and the intersectional feminists. And Britain being crowned TERF Island by some means the TERFs seem to have the upper hand here. And honestly, I can't really fault their reasoning because it's starting to sound a bit coercive, shall we say, from the trans lobby. So it began with this article published by the BBC. Now, it's quite an extensive article, and so we're going to go through a fair amount of it, but not all of it, obviously. But this is important because it's surprising to me that the BBC would essentially come down on the side of TERFs.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw this show up on the BBC front page, and I think we'll probably get into it later on in the segment, but it's caused quite a significant level of seething
there is much coping and dilating going on. So the it begins with, is a lesbian transphobic if she does not want to have sex with trans women? Some lesbians say they're increasingly being pressured and coerced into accepting trans women as partners, then shunned and even threatened for speaking out. Several have spoken to the BBC along with trans women who are concerned about the issue too. Now, do we think that the progressive community, the intersectional community, would pressure lesbians to accept biologically male people as being women and therefore in the category of people that a lesbian would want to sleep with?
I mean, they do have a horrible tendency never to take no for an answer.
That's a good point. And yeah. Trans women are women, as we are told. And so essentially these lesbians are being shamed for being super lesbian.
Or suppose that's a good term for it.
I mean, this
it.
Is literally what it is. Someone says, I've had someone saying they would rather kill me than kill Hitler. It says 24-year-old Jeannie, who is obviously not a real name. They said they would strangle me with a belt if they were in a room with me and Hitler. That was so bizarrely violent, just because I won't have sex with trans women. Now, I can completely understand why the LGBT community would be this mental about it. Because if you say, I'm not going to have sex with a trans woman, you were implying there is a distinction between trans woman and a biological woman. Now, there are course is, but ideologically they don't want to accept that, and they don't like that could be brought into this kind of sharp focus. Jenny herself is a lesbian woman. She says she is only sexually attracted to women who are biologically female and have vaginas, and therefore only has sex and relationships with women who are biologically female, as in she is literally a super lesbian. Like, that's what a super straight is. You know, I, as a super straight person, am only attracted to biological females who have vaginas.
Yeah, you know? I mean, a few years ago, that was a pretty typical position for a lesbian to have. Who'd have thought we'd come this far in so little time?
I know, progress, you can't stop it. Jenny doesn't think this should be controversial, but not everyone agrees. She has been described as transphobic, a genital fetishist, a pervert, and a TERF. You're a pervert for being a lesbian who wants to have sex with biological women. How's that? Like, that's. But I love this, a genital fetishist. Yeah. Yeah.
There is such a thing as genital preferences.
Yeah. But, like, I have a sexual fetish for women's genitalia. Is that wrong? Like, what should I have a sexual fetish for, says the lesbian?
It's the framing of otherwise normal things as just completely outlandish.
But what I love about that, calling someone a genital fetishist, as if that, A, that's wrong, but B, that seems like a profoundly conservative position. Oh, you can't have a fetish for sexual parts of adult humans?
It does come across like the old Christian conservative stock rhetoric.
It does, doesn't it? Anyway, they carry on. There's a common argument that they try and use that goes, what if you met a woman in a bar and she's really beautiful and you got on really well, and you went home and you discovered she has a penis? Would you just not be interested? Says Jenny. She says, yes, because even if someone is attractive, at first you can go off of them. I just don't possess the capacity to be sexually attracted to people who are biologically male, regardless of how they identify. Well, I agree with the lesbian. I don't either.
As do I. Even if they were very good at passing.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as the trousers come off and all of a sudden it just flops out.
I'd be sorry, I'm a vagina fetishist?
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm just not into that. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Just say no.
Yeah. And several people got in touch with the journalist who did this to say that there's a huge problem for lesbians who are being pressured to accept the idea that the penis can be a female sex organ. And we know who those people are. People who are very online and call themselves intersectionalists. I received online abuse myself when I tried to find interviewees using social media. So the journalist herself who's trying to write this article just, can anyone talk to me about this? Oh, shut up, TERF. One of the lesbian women I spoke to, 24-year-old Amy, again, not her real name, told me she had experienced verbal abuse from her own girlfriend, a bisexual woman who wanted them to have a threesome with a trans woman. When Amy explained her reasons for not wanting to, her girlfriend became very angry. The first thing she called me was transphobic. She immediately jumped to make me feel guilty about not wanting to sleep with someone. Peak incel energy here.
That sounds like immense gaslighting to me as well.
You know, this is a woman. Yes, it is. It does have a penis, and I know you're a lesbian, but, you know. But, like, you, pressuring someone and making them feel guilty for not wanting to sleep with someone, and you're in a relationship and they want a threesome, like, mad. Anyway, she says, I can hear their male vocal cords. I can see their male jawline. I know under the clothes there is male genitalia. These are physical realities that, as a woman who likes women, you just can't ignore. And soon afterwards, Amy and her girlfriend split up. Well, what a surprise. But again, she's saying she's a biological essentialist. She's saying that she thinks that gender has connections to a person's biology, and that is something she does not find attractive, which is totally her prerogative.
There is a physical reality that we all have to adhere to, and some people just do not want to accept that.
No, they don't. She says, I remember she was extremely shocked and angry, claiming my views were extremist propaganda and inciting violence towards the trans community, as well as comparing me to far-right groups.
Ah, those far-right lesbians out there.
Well, apparently. But I love the fact that it's far-right to be against forcing a woman to suck a dick. Just, okay.
Clown world.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's just ridiculous.
We're in clown world.
Another lesbian woman, 26-year-old Chloe, again not her real name, said she felt so pressured she ended up having penetrative sex with a trans woman at university after repeatedly explaining she was not interested. I felt very bad for hating every moment because the idea is we're attracted to gender rather than sex, and I did not feel that. And I felt bad for feeling like that, she said. Ashamed and embarrassed, she decided not to tell anyone. The language at the time was very much trans women are women, they are always women, lesbians should date them. And I was like, that's the reason I rejected this person. Does that make me bad? Am I not going to be allowed in the LGBT community anymore? Am I going to face repercussions for that instead? So I didn't actually tell anyone. That, to me, sounds like she's living under some kind of ideological reign of terror.
Yeah, that sounds, that experience, if it's true, sounds awful.
Yeah.
But that is, I mean, it sounds like she very much, but sadly, put herself into the mindset where she had to go through that, but she faced the harsh reality of when ideology slams into the brick wall of reality.
Yeah, but the fact that she thought that the community she was, you know, operating within was going to punish her and cast her out and, you know, perhaps worse, is awful, I think. You know, it's just terrible. But anyway, so Angela C. Wilde is the co-founder of Get the L Out, whose members believe in the rights of lesbians are being ignored by much of the current LGBT movement, as in, this is why LGB Alliance exists. And she created a questionnaire for lesbians and distributed it via social media and then published the results. Now, this was a Twitter poll, basically, and this one of the main arguments against this article is, oh, she used the Twitter poll, but if you look at almost everything that the LGBT community does, it's all done via Twitter anyway. So what are you complaining about? Anyway, she said that 80 of the women who did respond, out of the 80 women who did respond, 56% reported being pressured or coerced to accept a trans woman as a sexual partner. While acknowledging the sample may not be representative of the wider lesbian communities, she thought that it was important to capture their view and stories. And the thing is, it is kind of like peak incel energy from the trans community here. You're obliged to sleep with me. Why? Because I have reasons. It's like, no one's obliged to sleep with you under any circumstances.
I did also see people try to dismiss it on the basis that it was, it's just 80 people who responded. It's like, well, if it was 40 people this happened to, if it still happened to them, it still happened to them.
I mean, 40 people reporting the same sort of experience with the transgender people and the LGBT community, is that not significant?
I mean, especially if you're talking about the transgender community being such a small segment of the population in and of itself.
Yes, and localized in, like, you know, big cities. So exactly. It's a very small number of people anyway. Anyway, they carry on. I thought I would be called a transphobe, or that it would be wrong for me to turn down a trans woman who wanted to exchange nude pictures. Young women feel pressured into sleeping with trans women to prove that they are not TERFs. One woman reported being targeted in an online group. I was told that homosexuality doesn't exist, and I owed it to my trans sisters to unlearn my genital confusion so I can enjoy letting them penetrate me.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that so that's like transgender conversion therapy?
Yes.
You are genitally confused, and you need to unlearn it so you can take the dick.
I mean, homosexuality doesn't exist. That's a very old school kind of opinion right there.
That's another point. That's very conservative. I knew I wasn't attracted to them, but internalized the idea that it was because of my trans misogyny, and if I dated them for long enough, I could start to be attracted to them. It was DIY conversion therapy, she says. Another reported trans woman physically forcing her to have sex after they went on a date. And so I'm not going to read that out because it's actually awful. But moving on. So the BBC contacted a trans YouTuber and good girl, Rosa Dawn, who discussed the discussed the issue on her channel in a video called Is Not Dating People Transphobic? Rosa Dawn being a sane person who is like, no, you're allowed to date who you want. Rose made the video in response to a series of tweets by the athlete Veronica Ivory, who was previously known as Rachel McKinnon, who is a transgender, I think, cyclist. Male to female cyclist who, of course, won the women's cyclist tournaments.
I'm sure they left everyone else in the dust as yes. well, probably.
Exactly. But Veronica Ivory had written about hypothetical scenarios where trans people are rejected and argued that genital preferences are transphobic. In both cases, trans people are left in the cold. Genital preferences are transphobic.
Oh,
I mean,
look
at that physique. But if you scroll up a little bit, right, this is their tweet, that one there, right? But I love this. Trans people are left in the cold. Nobody owes you sex. I don't know why I have to say that. Nobody owes you access to their genitals.
Yeah, that.
Like, this used to be something feminists said, yeah. And now I'm saying it.
That hypothetical that they've set up as well, great job going to town on that straw man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There.
Yeah.
Wow.
But again, like, okay, it's perfectly valid for people to say, sorry, I only like dick on guys, or I only like guys with dicks. It's just
sounds
tough.
Fair to me.
Yeah, exactly. You're allowed to say that. You don't have to, you know, you don't owe trans people sex. I'm sorry to tell you this.
Not everybody is going to be attracted to you specifically.
Yeah. And like in the same way that you don't owe, women don't owe incel sex either. You know, they can't just go around, oh, I've never had sex, therefore you owe me. That's not how it works. But anyway, Rose believes that even trans people are afraid to talk openly about this for fear of abuse. People like me receive quite a lot of abuse from trans activists and their allies. The trans activist side is incredibly rabid against people who they see as stepping out of line, which, as far as I've seen, is correct. Stonewall is the largest LGBT organisation in the UK and Europe. I asked the charity about these issues, but it was unable to provide anyone for interview.
Surprise, surprise!
Yeah, and the BBC...
Well, they've got a few things to be worrying about at the moment, haven't
they? They do. However, in a statement, Chief Executive Nancy Kelly likened not wanting to date trans people to not wanting to date people of colour, fat people or disabled people.
Just lump them all in together.
If you don't want to date trans, you're a racist. You know, and like, sorry, you're allowed to not want to date any kind of person for any reason at all. That's your preference, even if it's one that a progressive might take umbrage with. Well, oh, you don't want to date this kind of person? No, I don't. Well, then you're an ex. Okay, but you can't make me date them.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, it's just not how it works. She said, what was it? Nobody should be pressured into dating or pressured into dating people they're attracted to, but I am going to shame you if you don't. She didn't say that, but that's what she's doing. But if you find that when dating, you're writing off entire groups of people, like people of colour, fat people, disabled people, or trans people, then it's worth considering how societal prejudices may have shaped your attractions. Yeah, and maybe I'm just happy with that. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to date a man. Am I prejudiced against men?
Are you a misandrist now?
I guess I must be.
I mean... Once again, just at the end of the day, people have preferences.
Yeah.
That's what this
and
comes down to.
And they're entitled to them.
Yeah, and these people are just going, no, you're not allowed them.
Your preferences are bigoted. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Jesus.
We know that prejudice is still common in the LGBT plus community, and it's important that we can talk about that openly and honestly. Right, so according to Stonewall, the LGBT community is riddled with sexism, racism, and ableism and transphobia, and it won't give sex to trans people. Weird. Anyway, there are some examples of this. We can go to the next one. So this one sort of TikTok exchange that was very interesting. So this child sexual abuse charity founder compels a lesbian to unlearn her transphobic penis repulsion. Summarizing their exchange, she ends up saying, "Never in a million years would I advocate for coercion, and shaming people is not my game," which is ironic given how this whole thing's full of shaming. "But what I will never stop doing is challenge unapologetically any idea that causes more violence to people in my community. And that's what gender preferences ultimately lead to, violence against transgender people." If you have a preference for a certain kind of sexual organ, then you're committing violence against trans people.
I mean, it always comes down to the accusations of violence, no matter what the actual reality of it is. But this, honestly, this whole thing is quite sickening to me.
It's disgusting.
It is, because you're just shaming people for stuff that I thought we figured out, what, like 30 years ago? That it's like, well, people have genital preferences and gender preferences.
Yeah, and the thing is, I always looked at it like you don't really get a choice as to who you're attracted to.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was what, you know, gay rights and lesbian rights was based on, the whole idea of like, well, we just are who we are, just leave us to it.
We can't help being this way, so stop persecuting us. And I, as a liberal, was like, yeah, that seems to make sense.
Yeah, it sounds fair to me.
Yeah, exactly. Why do we have to? And I've never chosen my sexual attraction either. I mean, you know, when I've chosen women, they're a lot of work.
You don't get to puberty and you get multiple choice.
Exactly, you know. If it was that simple, maybe I would have chosen differently. But basically, after having like an SJW struggle session with a commenter called Jenny, Jenny basically promises to get therapy and expresses the fact that she doesn't want to hurt anyone with her genital preferences. She says, "I am sorry, I did not want to punish trans women by denying sexual access to me by rejecting pre-op trans women. I'm going to a therapist to cure my repulsion." I mean, mad. Anyway, so moving on, there's a Daily Mail article that was in response to this BBC one, where a lesbian barrister claimed that she'd seen firsthand people who identify as trans women bully and coerce naive and vulnerable lesbian girls as young as 14 into a relationship. She said that she finds it really sinister, rapey, and if she doesn't sleep with people who are biological men, she's somehow labelled a bigot or transphobe. Yeah, that seems to be where we're at. We seem to have quite a few examples of that as well. Moving on. Lesbians began condemning the BBC. These are cis lesbians who consider themselves part of LGBT, who themselves are, I guess, not transphobic and suck the dick so they don't get called bigots. But they're accusing the BBC of amplifying a transphobic campaign, contributing to a baseless moral panic. Is it baseless if you've got, like, you know, dozens of people saying, hey, this happened to me?
Yeah,
I don't think that's baseless. But anyway, they would obviously, this has been widely denounced by the wider LGBT community, this article, for relying on a small study carried out by a known anti-trans campaign group, and they got 10,000 people on Twitter to sign an open letter to the BBC. Wow. The criticism also hones in on the fact that the BBC continues to platform anti-trans charity LGB Alliance, which they've had backlash against, I guess we'll call it, and they've been branded institutionally transphobic by senior MPs, LGBT plus campaigners and public figures. So the BBC has been branded institutionally based, which is also not true.
If only.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on, the BBC decided they were going to double down on their article, which was staggering.
Oh, it's good to see some integrity.
Well, yeah, but it's remarkable that the BBC is actually like, no, this the hill we're going to die on is the TERFs, not being forced into have sex with penises.
Well,
at least they've found a hill to die on, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose you got to draw a line somewhere. Better late than never.
Exactly, right? And so the BBC told Pink News that, look, it was a complex subject. It went through our rigorous editorial process and provides appropriate context. And so they're not going to change it. And so, yeah, sort of Twitter leftist Ash Sarkar decided to step in here and we're like, hang on a second. Nobody should be pressured into sex with anyone for any reason. But I wouldn't want someone to feel that they had to have sex with me out of social pressure, but it'd be fair to ask whether racism plays a part in announcing every 5 minutes they'd never sleep with a woman of colour. Sure, you can call them racist to shame them into sleeping with a thirsty communist if you like, but it's what you're disavowing at the same time.
That just reads like such immense cope.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Oh, no, it's not you. I just don't like women of colour. Sorry.
No. It's not that I'm not attracted to you, Ash. I'm just a racist.
Yeah.
So anyway, another chap, a gay man, sort of returns fire, saying, "Ash, you can have boundaries." Ash, in the next breath, "No, you can't talk about those boundaries, bigot," with a clown face, which is a good reply. Yeah, exactly, very good reply. And so Ash replies to this, saying, "So you wouldn't think it bigoted if someone went around talking about how they wouldn't sleep with a woman of color because they find them disgusting and not real women?" It's like, sorry, Ash, no matter how many times you call me a racist, I ain't going to sleep with you, or any woman of color, because my wife would be furious.
Yeah, and moving of the goalposts there as well, yeah. And the frame. Oh, I just don't. I'm not attracted to people of that skin color. All of a sudden, they're disgusting,
yeah.
And they're not human beings.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody said that. You know, people are allowed to have their preferences, even if you find them racist. And Ash has the final word on this. We can give the next one. This is the same point. Sleep with who you like, but telling about how disgusting you find a minority is bigotry, which kind of sounds like something a pedo would say, to be honest. Mm. You know, like, sleep with who you like. Yeah, but what if you're not allowed to sleep with those people because they're children? But, you know, telling about how disgusting you find a minority is bigotry. I do find it disgusting when people sleep with children. Am I a bigot? I guess I must be.
A map but, bigot.
Yeah, I mean, I find women with 5 o'clock shadows disgusting. Is that bigotry? You know, sorry, Ash, just teasing. Anyway, let's move on to very quickly to Judith Butler's view on this. So this was published before the BBC article, because it's a conversation that's been sort of floating in the ether, and Judith Butler headed it off at the pass. Basically, she has written a very long article for The Guardian calling this fascism. If you don't want to sleep with a trans person, you're a fascist. And she makes some bloody good points. Let me just quickly go through them. She, in the very beginning, she lays out the problem with gender activism, and I stand by all of this. In June, the Hungarian parliament voted overwhelmingly to eliminate from public schools all teaching related to homosexuality and gender change, associating LGBTQI rights and education with paedophilia and totalitarian cultural politics. Moving on. In late May, Danish MPs passed a resolution against excessive activism in academic research environments, including gender studies, race theory, post-colonial and immigration studies in their list of culprits. Ah, yes, that mighty Danish colonial empire of Iceland and Greenland. Many oppressed peoples of colour because of the Danes. I can see why they need post-colonial studies. But yeah, in December 2020, the Supreme Court in Romania struck down a law that would have forbidden the teaching of gender identity theory, but the debate there rages on. Transfee spaces in Poland have been declared by transphobes eager to purify Poland of the corrosive cultural influences of the US and the UK. Based, to be honest, but that's not what it was. It was LGBTQ. Free, and the people doing it were very clear to say we're talking about the ideology, which is good for them, because they should get rid of the ideology. Turkey's withdrawal from the Istanbul Convention in March sent shudders through the EU, since one of its main objections was the inclusion of protections for women and children against violence, and the problem was linked to the foreign word gender. Very interesting. The attacks on so-called gender ideology have grown in recent years throughout the world, dominating public debate stoked by electronic networks and backed by extensive right-wing Catholic and evangelical organizations. Though, I mean, a lot of those countries aren't Catholic, but carry on. Although not always in accord, and notice how she doesn't, she mentions Turkey, heavily Muslim country, 99% Muslim, Romania, Orthodox, but no, the Catholics are the problem, because they're the ones it's safe to call out. She's not calling out Muslims. Though not always in accord, these groups concur that the traditional family is under attack, that the children in the classroom are being indoctrinated to become homosexuals, and that gender is dangerous, if not diabolical, ideology, threatening to destroy families, local cultures, civilization, and even man, the quote-unquote, the term man itself. Good points. Well made.
Yeah.
Agree with you, to be honest. And they're all right. But anyway, so she skims along a bunch of other things and then gets to, in his well-known list of the elements of fascism, Umberto Eco writes, the fascist game can be played in many forms, a collage, a beehive of contradictions. Indeed, this perfectly describes anti-gender ideology today. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. Opposing gender ideology does not make you a fascist, although doubtless the fascists would have opposed gender ideology.
And I would say that gender ideology itself is much more representative of a beehive of contradictions.
That's a great point, actually. Yeah, that's a very good point. I missed that, yeah. This form of fascism manifests instability even as it seeks to ward off the destabilization of the social order brought about by progressive politics. So if you don't want your society destabilized, you're a fascist. Right. Got it. But we'll leave it there, because basically she's arguing that, oh, well, the gender-critical feminist shouldn't go and ally with the far right. And it's like, no, we're building a nice coalition with them. Go away.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. Judith Butler has long since been completely nuts.
Oh, yeah, she wrote Gender Trouble and has been pushing this for decades. And she's a lunatic.
She wanted to destroy any idea of gender in the first place.
She absolutely does. And the idea that you want to not have your societies destabilized by destroying the gender relations between the sexes is not fascism, Judith.
Sorry,
Try harder.
I just want to grill, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Just want to grill and get a bed with my wife, that's all right.
All right, then. So, moving on, it's time to learn about how the Conservatives are going to be spending more and more and more and more of your money. So,
stresses me out just hearing that.
I know. Last night, many have been aware that Rishi Sunak gave his speech on declaring what the autumn budget for 2021 is going to be, and presumably as well what the conservative approach moving forward is going to be in regards to the budget. So let's take a glance. I just want to preface this with, I am not an economist, I'm not going to be able to give too in-depth information on some of the points brought up, but I thought it'd be good to highlight highlight some of the more interesting things that I found in the budget, given what I've found on here. So setting out the government's tax and spending plans for the year ahead, Mr. Sunak said his plans were focused on the post-COVID era and would pave the way for an economy of higher wages, higher skills, and rising productivity. And first of all, I don't know if we're going to be in the post-COVID era next year. I mean,
it sounds like optimism to me.
I know. And just looking at governments from across the world and even what the Conservative plans for next year, it doesn't seem like any of the governments are too eager for us to be out in the post-COVID era.
Yeah.
Anyway, but moving on, inflation in September was 3.1% and is likely to rise to average 4% over the next year, OBR says. The UK economy forecast to return to pre-COVID levels by 2022. Annual growth is set to rebound by 6.5% this year, followed by 6% in 2022. Unemployment is expected to peak at 5.2% next year, which is lower than the 11.9% previously predicted. And wages have grown in real terms by 3.4% since February 2020.
Okay, that there are some great, really interesting points there, right? So A, 4% inflation, not good. That's them stealing your money with Rishi Sunak's payouts. Thanks a lot, Rishi. But wages have grown in real terms by 3.4%.
Mm.
That's very interesting, isn't it?
I think I've seen some things that cast some doubt on that.
Sure, but even if that is true, well, what might be the reason for that?
Well, because of the fact they just keep upping the minimum wage?
Maybe, or it could be that wages are growing because of the labour market favouring now the labourer rather than the employer.
Mm, yes, that is a point that could be made here.
Again, I'm no expert, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, even if it is going up, average prices of everything else is going up in the UK as well. So yeah, how much absolutely. Of a difference it will make.
Well, it's not rising in line with inflation, is it? Although that's real terms, so I don't know whether that counts or what. But anyway.
Yeah. But if we move on, there's a few more bullet points to go through in the next BBC article that sort of point out some of the new tactics that they're going here. So the new budget measures include a real-term rise in spending for every government department, a freeze on fuel duty, funding per pupil in England schools is to be restored to 2010 levels over the next 3 years.
So when they say 2010 levels, that's when David Cameron came into government and inherited Labour's spending plan.
Yes.
Great.
I mean, it is pretty obvious, but it seems that the Conservatives are basically trying to return to Blair-era Labour policies by the looks of it.
God damn it.
I know. So a 5% cut to the extra corporation tax banks have to pay to maintain competitiveness. Then there's an extra £2.2 billion for courts, prisons and probation services, including £500 million to reduce court backlogs, and a cut in air passenger duty for internal UK flights, and a tax rise on ultra-long-haul flights, which I assume is basically if you just want to get out of the country. But if you want to travel within the country, it might be a bit cheaper for you.
Sure, if I ever need to fly to the National Socialist regime in Scotland, that might be useful.
Why you'd want to.
Yeah, but okay, fine.
Yeah, and then there's more support for industrial research and development, which you can only assume means they're going to spend more money on it. So as you can see there, most of the plans that they've got set up is just keep spending.
Yeah.
Keep spending more. That seems to be the tactic.
I mean, they did just raise our taxes. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is not... I mean, it's been pointed out many times, this is not why people voted Conservative.
It's not why I voted Conservative.
And I've looked into it. Apparently, currently the deficit for the UK is over £2 trillion at this point, which is no surprise.
We may as well make it £200 trillion, because I ain't paying that back.
And it's continued to grow since the beginning of the David Cameron's Tory government, the coalition government, and it actually spiked, unsurprisingly, between 2020 and 2021, which, as you can imagine, is probably due to all of the COVID measures that went very, very well.
Yeah.
Just another indictment here that the Tories are becoming Blair-era Labour is that there has been a shift in Tory philosophy. Rishi Sunak has committed to spending increases of £150 billion over the next 3 years, including nearly £2 billion to help schools in England catch up following coronavirus, which, as far as I'm aware, they wouldn't need to catch up if they hadn't just stopped kids from going into school in the first place.
Yes, that's correct.
Yep, and £6 billion to tackle NHS backlogs. So...
again, wouldn't be a problem if none of this was shut down.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a problem.
All of these self-inflicted wounds that we have.
Probably wouldn't be as much of a problem if GPs decided to see people face-to-face as well.
This is, at the Conservative Party conference, Steve Baker, the Libertarian MP, just came out and said, well, we're a socialist party now. It's like, yeah, you are.
And it sounds like it.
Yeah.
And speaking of socialist projects, £7 billion for transport projects.
Yeah,
because, of course, going to get those railways built, I'm sure.
Well, you need to, because we've had hundreds of thousands, millions of people who've come to live in this country now because of Tony Blair. And so, needless to say, the infrastructure is creaking somewhat.
Yeah, I don't think I included it in this, but there is also, I think, a £24 billion extra pounds for another 180,000 affordable homes.
Oh,
I wonder why we need those currently.
Well, exactly. So we may as well build over all of our fields, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll keep pushing into the green belt. But yeah.
Oh, this is happening all around us. Like the Swindon Advertiser every week puts up and you think, oh, we want new housing estate here, new housing estate there. It's like, yeah. Why? Who's this homing? Oh, foreigners, brilliant.
Yep. So, yeah, it appears that we're just throwing austerity out the window. This is presumably pressure from different groups. And I mean, it's the Tories, probably from Twitter.
So every day
on Twitter, I see some brainless lefties going, austerity has failed us. And Boris and Rishi have presumably been sat there going, oh, no, what if they're right?
Yeah, what if the Twitter leftists don't accept us? They'll never accept you. God, you know, and the thing is, if the Conservatives didn't have so much power at the moment, like it wouldn't be so bad. It would be like, okay, well, they have to appease the Labour Party to try and get this across the line.
But they're completely in control.
Exactly. They could just be doing whatever they wanted.
All of these unnecessary things like diversity and equity departments in the NHS, places like that, just cut them.
Yeah,
just get rid of them. But yeah, so here he said...
And as Callum keeps going on about that, they're on hundreds of thousands of pounds a year, each one
like
of these.
270,000 is one of them, yeah.
And it's just like, this is unbelievable, and it's happening under a Conservative government.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And he says in his speech that he was giving that taxes are rising to their highest level as a percentage of GDP since the 1950s. Well, that's reassuring, isn't it? I don't like it, but I cannot apologise for it. It's the result of the unprecedented crisis, he said in his budget speech. The crisis that you have helped to make worse at every step.
Yeah.
But now we have a choice, he said, adding, do we want to live in a country where the response to every question is, well, what is the government going to do about it? I mean, that seems to be what they're...
Which is where we live at the moment.
Yes, that is what you guys are... pushing forward, and or do we choose to recognise that government has limits? That government should have limits.
Ah, right. So the old liberal appeal. Are we going to be fascists or not? Well, there's a good question. I mean, I'm on the not side, if that's okay.
Yeah, I don't see many limits being placed on these gigantic budget increases for every department of the government.
And not only that, what area of your life is the government not invaded in the last year and a half?
Yeah.
Literally. They've forced you, they've confined you to your homes, they've told you can't even start relationships if you don't live in the same household as that person. You can't send your children to school, your businesses have been closed, you've got to wear masks, or you've been forced to at points wear masks. Like, you know, and they're desperately trying to get you vaccinated. Like,
everywhere you look is just overreach.
Yeah. How are we not living in a kind of fascist society where the government can do whatever the hell it likes? And this like minister, or who was this? Some sort of anonymous minister?
I think it was Rishi Sunak himself saying this in his budget speech. Yeah,
right. Okay, I didn't watch the speech, but like, do we choose to recognise the government has limits? Oh God, if only we could. If only we could recognise that.
The irony of him saying that while increasing every budget
and operating under this fascist Conservative government.
Yeah, but he later insisted to ITV's Robert Preston that this was not empty rhetoric. Adding that both he and the Prime Minister wanted to deliver lower taxes by the end of Parliament. I mean, you can want all you like, but you've got to do it.
This isn't just empty rhetoric. Also, we're raising your taxes.
Yeah, but we swear, we feel really bad about it.
We just really wish we weren't, you know.
Yeah.
If only there was someone in charge who could lower your taxes, but we're not that.
And government should have limits, but we will expand government while we say so.
Absolutely. What do you want? More government? Yeah, we've got billions for more government.
Yeah,
God,
and you can see some of the reactions from some people pointing out the...
Hang on, before we go on, is it the Labour Party saying that's not enough?
Well, of course, the Labour Party, I've not included it there, but there was one of Labour ministers saying that basically saying, yes, it's not enough, you're just not raising the budgets in the right directions that we would do so. So, once again, another example of the very minuscule separation between the Conservatives and Labour at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, people don't want higher wages, surprisingly, if everything costs more anyway.
Yeah, what's the point?
Who'd have seen that? So in this article from the BBC, Ruby Torrey, a 23-year-old waitress at Zizi's restaurant in the Meadowhall shopping centre in Rotherham, she will see her wages increased after the Chancellor announced a rise to the national living wage. However, Ruby believes her hourly rate uplift from £8.91 per hour to £9.50 will be useless because of other rising costs. There's no point in them raising wages because by the time that they've raised your minimum wage with higher national insurance and inflation, you're no better off, which is, as far as I can tell, absolutely right.
Yeah, and even
everything's getting more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, even the regular people of the country, they always assume that everyone around the country is just stupid, but everyone can see it because they have to live with it every day of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, we can all see how much more expensive fuel is.
Yeah.
Like, I go to the petrol pumps and it costs, what, like £1.50 per litre at the moment, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, an extra, what, 60p per hour for most people is not going to help
them. I mean, I guess the benefit, the upside is at least we're not in California where it's like $7 now.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, it's absurd. But
I mean,
anyway.
we can all count our blessings for not being in California.
Sure.
Apologies to Californian viewers.
No, you should have left California.
Oh,
what
yeah,
are you doing?
Good point. but yeah, and then if you like further on down this article, John Tolley, who runs an independent record shop in Kingston, said the decision to temporarily cut business rates for shops, restaurants, and bars by 50% was probably more than we hoped for. Because I've seen in the budget they have done that; they've cut business rates for more independent style businesses by 50%. The main thing to do is to encourage people to shop independently. It keeps money in the community, he said. However, Mr. Tolley said there was nothing in the budget which he claimed could make up for the problems caused by Brexit, because of course this is the sort of person that the BBC decides to interview regarding this.
I mean, the government shut your business down for 6 months, but while they left Amazon and Sainsbury's and all the big supermarkets open, your business was shut down. But it's Brexit that's the problem, right?
Yeah. He was also disappointed to hear little about climate action and climate change, but welcomed the increase to minimum wage, because You gotta throw them out there, don't you, at this point? I want customers and my employees to have disposable income and cash in their pockets so they can spend it on the high street. I'm sorry, John, but if everything's going to cost more, it's not really going to make that much of a difference.
No, it's not.
And just a reminder for everybody what you actually get for your tax money. The Test and Trace NHS, which was a complete waste of money in the first place, is currently paying 2,000 consultants, like up to almost £7,000 a day.
What?
In some cases. So yeah, in this Telegraph article, NHS Test and Trace is still paying nearly 2,000 consultants despite repeated promises to reduce its use of private external firms. Parliamentary correspondence reveals letters sent to the Public Accountants Committee show little change in the use of the private contractors, some of whom were paid as much as £6,600 a day. Almost sounds demonic.
So there's literally millions of pounds a day that's being spent on this useless app.
Well, by the sound, I don't know if it's per day, but certainly per week it would add up.
If some of them are being paid £6,000 a day, let's assume they're all being paid, what, £2,000 a day on average, right? How much is that?
A lot.
It's millions.
Yeah, you're probably right there. And in a report, the PAC said that the £37 billion service...
Now I see why it costs £37 billion.
Yeah, set up at minister's behest had been an eye-watering waste of taxpayers' money which failed to achieve its objectives. Dame Meg Hillier said the programme had massively overpromised and underdelivered while spending eye-watering sums of money, which is...
I mean, I'm literally about to cry.
Absolutely right. This, when they do increase your taxes for like the 1.2%, what was it, 1.25% point increase on the national insurance and any sort of tax increase, this is how they spend it. This is how it goes.
Government
programs are always inefficient and they never work very well. And just another reminder, what did the Test and Trace program cause? The pingdemic. That occurred earlier this year, which is one of the reasons that there was so many staffing shortages.
Josh fell victim to it as well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But before you started, he fell victim to the pingdemic.
Yeah, which just made it so that everything was more difficult because shops were unable to get the staff to stock the shelves and do other basic services for people. Obviously, this was a few months ago at this point, but that's what these sorts of government programs do. So they're going to be spending your money on more things that will make life more expensive, more difficult, and then when they realize that this isn't working, what will they do? They will decide, I have got the solution, more spending.
God damn it. It's just, honestly, I feel like we're being governed by Tony Blair still.
Like, I know.
There's just no getting around it. It's honestly, I'm so frustrated by it because my taxes are going up and I already pay a staggering amount of tax. And the thing is, the more taxes that, like, we're currently in tax season here, right?
Yeah.
So we're getting all the accounts done and I'm going to have to pay an unbelievable amount, or the business have to pay an unbelievable amount of money. And it's like that money, if we didn't have to pay that in taxes, we could spend it on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff, people, wages, you know, equipment, bigger premises, who knows, right? Because everything's going well. Thank you, by the way, for everyone signing up. But instead of putting that into the economy, no, we've got to send it to the government to essentially be burned on a pyre.
Yeah, like, well, so that they can actually take our staff away at moments,
well,
at a moment's notice, if they just feel like it.
Like,
sorry, you got pinged. You might have been in the vicinity of someone who might have had a sniffle that day.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, it's Josh's fault for installing the bloody app.
I never installed it.
No,
why would you?
Yeah, why would you? Anyway... Let's have a talk about a viral Twitter thread that went around about something that happened in Kentucky. So, libs of TikTok doing the Lord's work on the Twitter until they get suspended for something, have posted, insane, Mayor of Hazard, Kentucky, who is the principal of the Hazard High School, held an assembly with a male pageant. The students came in dressed in lingerie and gave lap dances to the staff.
Jesus.
Unironically, that is... But, I mean, that there... That person there, I believe that's not one of the staff. That person getting the lap dance.
Some
there.
Guy.
No. It's not just some guy.
Oh, no.
That's the mayor.
I mean, I can't tell from the picture, but he doesn't seem to be pushing them away.
He's not having a terrible time, is he?
No.
And the person sat next to him is the principal of the school, who allowed this to be organized, apparently participated.
Get rid of them. Get rid of
absolutely
every single one of them in prison.
Exactly. There is the principal getting a twerk on from one of the students. Lots of people watching, and everyone's just like, this is normal.
I've seen this pop up on my Twitter feed, but I have deliberately avoided looking at it just because these sorts of images make me...
Students are about 16, I think.
It just makes me very angry. This is vile.
Yep.
I think that's the only word that you can use to, well, reprehensible.
Now, if this was happening in California or New York,
I would expect it. That's business as usual over there, I'm sure.
Exactly. But it's happening in Kentucky. Yeah. Is there anyone in Kentucky who takes objection to this? Like, are you going to email them? Maybe it's like, hang on, what are you doing? Right.
Well, I mean, once again, I mean, tying this into the sort of story that I covered yesterday, I believe that the governor of Kentucky is a... Democrat, good old Democrat. Yep. So no real surprise here.
Don't know why people in America keep voting for Democrats, to be honest, because this is the kind of degeneracy you're going to get.
This is what they're doing to your kids.
This is a good post, though, right? So I scratched out the students in the photo for their privacy. This was posted by the Hazard High School and deleted after a backlash. So they posted this to their Facebook page.
They were proud enough of
they
it.
They didn't realize.
Look at what we're doing.
That people might be like, hang on, is this acceptable? Is it acceptable for the students to be sexualized and then twerk and lap dance and grind on the teachers and the mayor? Is this normal? Is this what happens in Kentucky? Is this what good Republican Christians do with their time and allow what happens to their children? I wouldn't have said so, but what do I know? I don't live in Kentucky. But today, during the homecoming assembly, they held a male pageant. During this, young male students came out with bikinis, lingerie, tons of skin showing, etc. They proceeded, it seems, in the photos to give lap dances to the teachers. The school shared these photos. I personally believe this is ridiculous, incredibly inappropriate from the perspective of a high school student. I can't imagine what some of the parents were thinking. My question is, who allowed this to be approved, and what's the board's opinion on this? Great question. So, I mean, like, let's go to the principal of the school and see what his opinion is. Because the... here's just some more images of it. But if we can go to the next one. That's the principal. Scroll down a bit. That's the principal.
He's having a great time.
Oh, he's not hating, is he? How is this acceptable? How is this acceptable, right?
This feels like the kind of Illuminati. He might be a member of one of those Illuminati-esque cults.
I don't think he is. I think he's just a pervert.
Well, I mean, he more in one of those shows where someone like that would show up. He looks the type.
I guess, but I think he's just a pervert. Yeah, right.
So, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, if we can get to the next one, there have been past allegations against this guy because his name's Donald Happy Mubellini. And in 2008, I think it was, he was photographed, and this was posted again to Facebook, which shows him driving around his daughter and four of her friends with vodka and cans of beer while they're smoking in a car. It's like, why is he doing this?
Wow.
Like, how is this the principal of the school? And that happened in 2008, and it was just like, yeah, okay, carry on.
And this that sounds like one of those infiltration methods where it's like, sounds... look, I'm the cool teacher.
That's exactly it, but it also sounds very groomy, doesn't it?
Well, I think the two go hand in hand with
exactly,
one another.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know why I have to say this, but if you have a position of authority in a school, you have a professional and moral obligation to keep a certain distance. Professional distance between you and the students. Didn't think I'd need saying, but there we go. Here we are. And so, as the Post-Millennial Report, an investigation is underway. So the superintendent of the Hazard Independent Schools, called Sonda Combs, said, the district has a tradition of excellence in academics and everything we do, but the incident is being investigated, and once the investigation is complete, appropriate action will be taken. So there's quite a long statement, but I'll just drag a few quotes out of it. I found the schools of inappropriate student-led activities that had since surfaced on social media. Appropriate disciplinary action has been taken, but we won't tell you any more about it, is basically the thing. So, has the guy been fired? Not to my knowledge. And they won't tell us what they've done, so as far as I'm concerned, why would that be anything? The Student Activity Committee was created, they've created a Student Activity Committee to review all student-led activities, because, as they're saying, the students are the ones who organized and did this. Without any encouragement from the teachers, apparently, don't believe it.
Even if that was the case, if they come to you and go,
it's not an excuse.
All the boys will give you a lap dance.
And some of the girls, too. They'll be in their bikinis and Hooters outfits.
You say no.
Yes.
You shut that down.
Bring the mayor in. Yeah. He could do with a lap dance, couldn't he?
He'll have a great time.
In this school gymnasium. Unbelievable, right? And so they say, using this teachable moment, we will provide social media training for students and staff. Anything posted online is permanent and is there on public display for everyone to see and share around the globe.
Wait, so is the implication there that the only thing that went wrong was they shared this online?
That was one of the implications,
that's
yes.
Certainly.
That's, yeah, you know, we don't want them posting this online again, yeah, because look
how
upset you are.
We know this looks bad.
Yeah, exactly. And it only looks bad because, you know, 16-year-olds giving the mayor of the town a lap dance at school.
Parents might not be happy about that.
Yeah, you know, they say, well, it was a light-hearted activity and it got out of hand. So when they came out in their bikinis, like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, what was the point of that? Like, oh, it just got out of hand. Sure it did. Our district would like to apologize for the activity that has been portrayed in the media, and we regret how this has unfolded. Yeah, I bet you regret how it's unfolded. But you don't seem to be regretting that your students were, I mean, you could say sexually exploited by the principal and other authorities in the local area. That's not an unfair characterization, I think. But you regret how it has unfolded, and you regret posting it to social media because people got to see and they're like, hang on, this is bad, isn't it? This is failing a duty of care to the sanctity and dignity of the children under your care, is it not? Anyway, this is not the type of event that typically occurs here at Hazard High School. Well, I should bloody well hope not. But the parents were not very impressed, if you can believe it.
Big surprise there.
One person featured in the photo, by the way, was the principal. But anyway, one mother says, the high school principal is the mayor of Hazard. Sorry, I mixed those two up.
Oh, okay.
That's not the mayor. The mayor's there, but he's also the principal.
He's clapping them along.
Yeah, apologize for that. Yeah, so anyway, one woman says, as a mother myself, I wouldn't want my son involved in such actions. Another woman said that it's not a representation of what pageants are and found it demeaning in many ways, unsurprisingly. Another mum who has a family member at the school and kids in the district says, the event should have been shut down the moment an adult realised students were undressing. Correct.
Absolutely.
I think that they should have, at this point, said, hey, I know this is a joke, but let's stop. This is inappropriate. Again, the bare minimum. But
I don't
one...
see the joke in it.
No,
first,
I don't.
First of all.
No, what are you doing? But one mother disagrees. She says, oh, it's been completely taken out of context. There are only photos being shown on the internet. No videos. The photos didn't show the teachers pushing the children off them. That's true. If you have such photos, why don't you share them?
If they're available,
yeah,
it would help.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely.
Are you sure the principal was pushing the children off him when he was, like, you know, laughing about enjoying
when he
getting
was
twerked
clapping
on
them along?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a big assumption, in my opinion. But anyway, yeah. So if we can go to the next one, so disciplinary action is apparently going to be, again. Where's the pushing off? Aren't they look like they're all having a great time as this half-naked student massages the belly of some fat dude. Like, sorry, this is just like... Oh, you just didn't see the other photos. I don't want to see the other photos.
I don't want to know what happened next.
Yeah, how is this not child exploitation? I mean...
I shouldn't laugh, but how is this a thing that's happened?
I know. Democrats, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway, a thread about the Hazard High School events on Reddit were titled, "This is the mayor of my town being grinded on by a high school student dressed as a woman," has more than 450 comments and loads of upvotes. Mobellini was previously the subject of investigation in 2008 when the first photos posted to Facebook show him driving with his daughter and drunk teenage friends. But later in 2008, he also came under scrutiny when police charged 12 underage students with alcohol intoxication when they were found drinking on the football field, and he was reportedly with the student before the police had arrived, so who knows if he had provided the liquor or not. Yeah. But the point is, it seems to be a problem with the principal slash mayor of Hazard.
I mean, I was going to ask, how does this man still have his job? But if he's the mayor as well, then I can only assume that he's just exerted a little bit of influence there?
Entirely possible, but the superintendent apparently hasn't fired him, and we're not going to be told. I mean, disciplinary action is probably a stern talking to, or an email or something, but it's like, sorry, I don't see how that's acceptable. And like, I would have expected the person who'd done that to be fired, but what do I know? Anyway, that's about where that story ends so far, but doubtless it'll carry on at some point.
Right, in that case, let's move on to the video comments.
So with all of the refunding of the police going on, I do not think that it's a good idea, tactically speaking, because all the ones that stay were the ones that are going to be the ones that are just going to follow orders. And why would you want to fund that and strengthen that? Also, yes, this is a PPS 43C. It is in a pistol configuration because they have the ATF. And yes, ATF rules are very dumb, and it's also semi-automatic, because ATF.
Very cool.
Nice.
On the point about the police, though, maybe?
Maybe. I'm sure there were plenty. I know that there was a lot of people who left the police forces when they did start to defund them, but I'm sure that there were still an equal amount, plenty of people who stayed who do want to do the right thing and want to uphold law and order it for their local communities. And I imagine a lot of the money that they're using to refund them will probably be available to hire back people as well.
and at the end of it, we don't know that's the case. You know, it seems like a logical assumption, but I don't want to say that's categorically how it is.
And the police force in England's a bit embarrassing. But...
Oh, God, yeah. The Metropolitan Police are awful.
Well, that's the English police.
Bring
force.
Back the constabulary. But at the end of the day, I mean, you need to refund the police in America because you've got some areas that are just such dangerous, high-crime areas. You can't go without police in these places.
Considering that there was clear and intentional action by Fauci to fund banned gain-of-function research in Wuhan, is this not a difference in kind to funding a good experiment trying to find ways to limit the spread of leishmaniasis and was executed poorly with the Tunisian dog torture debacle? One is arguably not Fauci's fault, and one very clearly is the result of him ignoring rules and regulations. Is this difference not important? Should we blame him for everything?
Well, I mean, that is a fair point, and you are correct that... the funding of the dog experimentation was not illegal. Fauci did, I think, directly sign off on it, if I recall correctly. But you are right, that's just a massive moral failing on Fauci's part. It is the gain-of-function research that he funded and lied about that is the real problem. It's just morally disgusting. But I also saw an article on, I think it was Gateway Pundit, that alleged that Fauci also funded experiments on orphans.
I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, even like you say, in regards to that, just because something is legal does not make it moral.
And at the end of the day, we just need to know what will happen to the dogs. Like, we know what's going to happen. They're going to get this disease and die.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just so cruel. But you are right. That's not the main problem with Fauci. The main problem with Fauci is that he's a liar and he's funded the gain of function research that may well have been something to do with the entire coronavirus pandemic in the first place. But good point, well made.
So here's just a clip of a fight at a hockey game that I went to recently. I thought you guys might enjoy. Remember, guys, don't ever pick a fight with a hockey player. And so some news that I wanted to share. It's not 100% confirmed yet, but looking very, very likely. I might be moving to an area that was at one time called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Yes, that's right. I might be moving to Chaz. And I am not looking forward to all the deranged leftists that will be living there, too.
Well, I guess the question is, why are you moving?
Yeah. You know what goes on there,
yeah.
And you know the sort of people who populate the place, so why?
Yeah, but also, I really want to know, why hockey games? Is it just permitted for them to have a boxing match in the middle of it?
I've never watched hockey except for compilations of people just breaking out into fights. And honestly, I think it looks awesome.
Well, yeah.
Personally, I think it's really fun.
I agree, but like, why? Just why is that
what,
a part
what
of
is
hockey?
It about the sport that encourages people to get so violently angry?
Yeah. And how can we introduce it into football?
Bring real men back to football.
Yeah, I just don't get why this is just a custom in hockey that just carries on.
I mean, I suppose Canadians got to get it out somehow, right?
Yeah, I suppose
they've probably
so.
Got a lot of pent-up anger.
Well, I would, yeah.
Hmm.
To clarify something, because a number of people have told me about pilots who use prosthetics, let me just clarify something. I wasn't going off the best scenario where you have enough left of the body part that's been amputated to actually put a prosthetic on. Worst case scenario where we have to amputate at the shoulder or at the hip. There's nothing to put a prosthetic on, it's just all gone. That I was going off the worst case scenario for this. And you might think, well, Harry, there's no way it would get that bad. No, a woman lost both of her legs and couldn't look after her kids anymore. So it can get that bad because a woman suffered from it. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree. I've just been paying no attention to the meta conversation about
there is an ongoing
pilots.
Chat going on in the background of our podcasts recently.
Yeah.
It sounds, as long as you guys are all having a great time with it, then
yeah, I mean,
fair play.
I don't care, but like, okay. When Callum has mended,
he'll be back soon, folks. He was like one of the most forward facing Western intellectuals.
I didn't know that he was a Bosnian genocide denier.
I didn't know that. I know that he was supportive of the Khmer Rouge and
what? Isn't that the sort of thing a paedophile would say?
Wow.
And that's why we don't upload this part to YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but it's something that you had to know. Callum says, "You know you are."
That sounds interesting. Excellent edit.
Well, honestly, I don't think Callum's a Bosnian genocide denier as much as endorser.
I don't know.
The Republican Party is the most dangerous party in human history. A lot of people don't want to get vaccinated, but those same people would stop at a red light. That's not an infringement on freedom. They should be removed from society, and if they can't eat, that's their problem.
Nah, the Fauci one was better.
Yeah, I just see, I don't know even who that was supposed to be.
No, if there
was
any,
that makes sense. I just thought it was the amalgam of leftist thought, to be perfectly
honest.
No,
that's Chomsky.
Okay.
The Fauci one was better.
Sorry to keep bringing up Yuval Harari, but I've been really slow getting through his books. One argument in his second book is why scientists proves the existence of free will, and he defines free will as the ability to act according to our desires. Now, this isn't an argument for the existence of free will, but rather why this definition is terrible. It's a very hedonistic definition. And as detractors of hedonism would say, someone who always gives in to their desires is a slave to them. So of course you're not free if you act according to your desires. If free will is anything, it is the ability to choose whether you will act upon your desires or not.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a good point. Schopenhauer basically comes to that same conclusion, saying, well, look, we're not free because we're trapped in mortal shells that have, you know, pudgy needs, and they essentially command everything that we think and do, and therefore we're not free.
At the end of the day, the easiest thing that you can do is give in to all of the base desires comes with being a human, whereas it takes real skill and determination to avoid giving in to those desires.
Yeah, I agree. But I think he's exactly right. The ability to choose not to just indulge your desires is what free will is.
The purpose of assault weapons bans is to keep modern rifles out of the hands of the general population. They generally do this by making up a list of quote-unquote evil features, such as detachable magazines of greater than 10 rounds, pistol grips, adjustable stocks, barrel shrouds, and flash suppressors being the common options. The fin is to make it not a pistol grip, so there's fewer quote-unquote evil features, and so it will fall under the line of an assault weapon.
And all of those evil features just sound like quality of life things for me, which surely, if you're a responsible gun owner, would actually make the gun safer to use.
And also, assault weapons are just not the problem. Most shootings are by handguns.
Oh, yeah.
So why would you spend a second of your time worrying about the quality of life features on an assault rifle?
Well, they obviously, it's because they look scary.
It is exactly that. Because, man, one of the things that you can't help but notice when watching the gun debate in America is the Democrats do not know anything about guns. They literally, I mean, I don't know anything about guns, but I know more about guns than they do. And it's so obvious when they say such embarrassing things.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm cringing. If I was a gun owner, I'd be furious, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know very little about guns, but I know that the AR-15s constantly come up with in those discussions. And AR-15s, as far as I'm aware, have some of the smallest caliber bullets that you can get outside of a pistol.
Yeah, and they're always going on about, oh, we need to ban fully automatic weapons. It's like, they are banned.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have machine guns. Oh, well, we need to ban them. It's like, okay, done, well, job done.
Congratulations.
We can all go home, I guess.
We did it, guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they literally don't know what they're talking about, and it's an embarrassment.
The tragedy of the delayed treadmill? Really, Saki? Really? Here's my local supermarket. These look like slots for treadmills to you, Marie Antoinette? No, this is food. Ugh. Anyways, I've started making vids of me having fun making terrain. Evil Weevil on YouTube and BitChute. Making fun things is a good distraction from the feeling of impending dread I feel. That and my daily dose of Lotus Eaters. Keep up the awesome work.
Man, that is an amazing piece of terrain.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I've really got to do something like that myself, actually. I really do.
I've barely started painting my miniatures. No. So that's very ambitious for me right now.
Yeah, I don't have the time, but I would love to do something like that. It looks great.
Hello, so I just wanted to respond to something Carl said on Louis the Vice stream about leftist teachers indoctrinating and grooming children. So I can't quite say they're demonic, but Matthew 18:6 says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea." So, not demonic, but not bad. I'll take it.
The question there was, are leftists demonic? And
there's an argument to be made.
Neither me nor Louis are Christians, so we wouldn't use those frames, but like, I can understand why Christians would say so, because, I mean, look at what's happening.
Yeah, and we've discussed before how the Bible and other such things can probably contain lots of knowledge that has been passed down throughout millennia, and if even the Bible is saying, kill your pedos.
Yeah, or not even that, just don't pervert children.
Yeah.
You know, if that's too much to
ask. They figured this out millennia ago.
Yes.
And Democrats still haven't.
Well, they're the ones that are like, no, I'm going to fight for my right to pervert children. It's like, okay, great. And I look forward to Bay State's remix of that.
Tony D and Little Joan here with The Legend of the Pines, the Weymouth Furnace in Weymouth, New Jersey. The furnace was built in the early 1800s and made cannonballs for the War of 1812. The ruins are left behind now, and it's now a nice park. It was burned down in 1862. You can have a nice hike and a picnic, go canoeing. I wonder if 200 years from now, someone will be doing that in the ruins of the Tesla factory.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The War of 1812 that we won.
I am not your president. Donald Trump is still your president.
Well, I guess he's saying the quiet part out loud now. Also, for new gold subscribers, how do we access the Zoom call?
Good question.
Yeah, the link will be up. I think it's at 4 o'clock today. So it's a page on the website that'll just say Zoom call. You can click on it. If you're a gold tier subscriber, you'll see a link, and you can follow that. And tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we'll be there.
Good morning. I just recall that one of our funny editors, I think it was Base Tape, was it? We're looking for maybe someone to do illustrations, which I thought probably would be a good point to do a little bit of shilling, because I do, maybe not the best kind of art, but I do a pretty decent one. And if you're interested, just here's my Ko-Fi. Just give it a look. And if you're interested, just give me a call. Have a nice day.
Cool.
No, he does really good artwork, actually. It's not, you know, it's good cartoony artwork.
Oh, yeah. The stuff that I saw scrolling up there looked pretty good. So, yeah, if you're interested, give it a look in.
Just wanted to give a big thank you about the live Lotus Eaters event. Had a wicked time. Oh, nice meeting you, John. You are seven shades of mental, but had such a laugh. Good meeting you too, Callum. Although briefly, you're drunk. Go home. Good to meet you as well, Carl. Look at those handsome buggers. Although... hang on, what is that doing there? Also good to see the other fantastic people in the Cigar Club and everyone else who came along as well. Had an awesome day. Looking forward to the next one. Cheers.
Yeah, it was really good, man. I was really, really enjoyed seeing everyone.
Wish I'd been there in time to be able to attend it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that there'll be plenty more, won't there?
We definitely will do more in the future. Right, yes. So George says... Ash Sarkar completely embodies the personal is political. She can't see the rejection of a demographic as an individual sexual preference, but rather as a bigoted attack on a group. Also, I wouldn't even sleep with a communist. That's a really good point, because, I'm at liberty to reject any demographic from being potential romantic partners for any reason I like. You know, and I can define any demographic. I mean, there are going to be loads of women like, well, I'm not going to date a man under 5'6" or something. You know, it's like, okay, but you're fine. You're free to do that, you know. Oh, this is heightist bigotry. Yes.
Yes.
She's allowed to be.
Yeah, they're absolutely...
There are loads of women out there who don't care about that, so go find one of them, you know. Silas says, the female penis is an idol in this new secular religion of woke. A golden calf for the modern age. Get on your knees and worship, bigot. That's fantastic. Out for the betas. I love this, right? Whenever they're like, trans women are women, right? A bunch of the TERFs have taken saying what Alpha the Beta is saying here. Pantomime horses are horses. Pantomime horses demand access to all horse spaces. I mean, what are you going to say to that?
I mean, when you deconstruct what the very idea of something fitting into a category is and you remove it from any and all objective criteria, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't say anything.
How is a pantomime horse not a real horse? There's no biological nature to a horse.
It was the Hassan problem with Ollie London, when he just came out and said, well, I've got no argument against this, because by their own metrics, they don't.
Yep. Marcus says, interestingly, the trans lesbians don't date each other. I wonder why that is. It's a good question, actually, isn't it? Why don't they date each other if they're all just women?
Yeah.
And they're all lesbians.
I mean, there's no such thing as genital fetishism, is there? Well, there is, but genital preference. Yeah.
But also, if they're female penises, then what difference does it make?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's just really not into the bussy.
Yeah, I guess they're not. Edward of Woodstock says, this reminds me of the person who said, that's not an orientation, that's called having a breeding fetish when confronted with super straight.
Wow.
Yeah, I do have a breeding fetish.
I'm
a dad, you know.
Did they pull their shoulder out with that reach there?
Yeah, Christ. I mean, it's a fetish that most of the human race had, considering that's how A, you continue to be a species, and B, your bloodline. For some reason, wanting sex for procreation is depraved now. Yeah, having a fetish for the genitals of the opposite sex is somehow problematic.
And of course, in dismissing any form of gender essentialism, they completely deny the idea that, I mean, evolution has a big part to play in it. It might be something to do with the fact that we are a reproductive species.
One might suggest that, but they would also be transphobic.
Oh, okay.
Ava says, morning, gents. Students at my university used to debate transphobia of refusing sex with trans people. Some of the activists would admit that it was okay to have genital preferences. Some would admit that it's okay to have gender preferences. And some would admit it's okay to prefer people who aren't infertile. So if we put one and one and one together, I think the activists have given me permission to be super straight.
Collectively.
Collectively, but they'll all contradict one another, and so no one's got permission to be anything. John says, isn't coercive penetration rape? Yes. Again, this is why they're sounding a lot like incels. C. Willie says, probably obvious... Good name. Probably obvious to many, but it occurred to me that many, if not most, trans women are just incel men who figured out a cheat code.
I mean, I might have suggested this in the office.
Maybe something that looks kind of... I mean, this is what all the TERFs are saying. You know, you see like Posey Parker and stuff like that, saying that all the time, basically.
And if you want to talk about potential reproductive strategies, putting yourself in a position where people literally are not allowed to say no to you.
And, I mean, literally impregnating lesbians.
Yes.
That's an interesting reproductive
strategy. Opening up a whole new section of the dating market for themselves.
They are. Zoranax says, when men are shamed for not engaging with trans women, did lesbians think they'd be left alone? Sometimes when you tell a woman to get involved because they have the power in the social sphere, most think men should solve the problem. Women have to get out of the palanquin at some point. Well, I think that's been thrust upon them. Possibly not the best use of words. But also literally in some cases. Again, I'm just surprised the BBC came down on the side of the TERFs, frankly.
Yeah.
David Shipton says, imagine thinking that anyone is obliged to sleep with you. Wouldn't that be more of the mindset more often found in the mind of a rapist?
Again, you can draw many parallels.
And the TERFs are, and I mean...
Rightfully so.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, like, if you're pressuring someone into sleeping with someone else, you're on the wrong side of the argument. Yeah.
I mean, one, it's just factually correct, and two, it's great that they have found a usable tactic for arguing back against this stuff, to be perfectly honest.
Oh yeah, and it's a good tactic as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't force me to sleep with you. I don't care how transphobic you think I am.
And because it also uses the leftist logic against it, because they've been banging on for years
consent.
About enthusiastic consent
exactly. Tiber says, a life of testosterone meets female privilege and you get suck my D, you lesbian transphobe. You never get these crazy stories about trans men. It's trans women acting crazy 99% of the time.
Mm.
Yeah, that's interesting as well, isn't it?
I wonder if there's any biological reason for their aggressiveness, perhaps.
Well, let's check their testosterone levels.
Yes.
Alex says, no, Carl, unlearning their genital preference isn't conversion therapy, it's rape. Well, it is, I think, a form of conversion therapy. Like that's essentially what they're driving at. But I agree it is also rape. Nothing about this strikes me as trans people wanting acceptance, but instead them wanting to force or coerce sex on women. And I think that we should be clear, it's not like all trans people or anything.
There.
You know, it just seems, honestly, I think that is sort of gadsad, sneaky effort.
The
strategy, there's a certain percentage of men who are like, if I do X, I can get Y, and that's not legitimate.
Well, obviously. I mean, in the Parasitic Mind, he literally talks about how in the wild, it is animals changing their appearance to look like the opposites, well, to look like the female member of the species.
Yeah.
Whereas with male feminists and people like that, it's like dyeing their hair and other mm-hmm. such things so they look less threatening.
Yeah.
With these people, you could argue they are literally doing the more natural... tactic that you see out in the wild.
Yeah. David again says, trans people might be left in the cold by their own life choices. Since when should that become everyone else's problem? Since it's not Rachel McKinnon, Veronica Ivy, suggested that you have to sleep with trans people. They're entitled to it. Small L Libertarian says, hang on, I'm happily married. Does that make me the phobics and isms because I don't want to have sex with anyone other than my wife? Hell yeah, boys, get married, become the ultimate bigot. Yeah, I mean, that is, like, I'm literally bigoted against every other person in existence.
Based?
King of the bigots.
Yes. Again, teach us your ways.
Looking forward to Based Apes, remix of that. Henry says, it feels like the T has got a free ride on riding on the LGBT bandwagon for so long, even though it's a completely different thing and, as we're seeing now, somewhat incompatible issue. And this is the point we've been making for ages. LGB are sexualities. T is about gender identity.
Oh, yeah.
Not the same thing. Obvious contradictions here. Now the LGBs are less useful and winding their efforts down because they've achieved their aims, which they seem to have done. They can get married. They've got the same rights as everyone else. What more is there for gay rights activism, you know? The TQIAP plus lots, I like the fact you put a P on there, are trying to splinter off and assert dominance by shanking the LGBs in the back. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe they'd be shanking them in the back. Who would have thought that in 30 years we've gone from the Christian conservatives being pro-censorship, anti-video games, anti-gay crowd, demanding gay conversion therapy, to it being the left-wing queers adopting all of these positions? Absolute clam world. Yes.
Yes.
I like that one where it's like there's no such thing as homosexuality. It's like,
that's an interesting position to take.
Yeah, but you've got to find a really hardcore conservative to say that. You know, a lot of them will just say it's immoral, but they accept it exists.
Yeah.
You know,
and even I've met a number of Muslims over the years who have said no, it's a choice and it's immoral. Mm-hmm. So they would probably contend that, in terms of a biological reality, it's not real. It's just something that people choose to do. But
it's still such an extreme position.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Mr. Flibble says, a good name, by the way.
Yes.
I'm rather tired. No one watches Red Dwarf anymore. I'm rather tired of the government discussing tax rises and mentioning an increase in the average wages. A lot of people on middle incomes have had static wages for years or cuts due to changes to reward structures in corporates. This is the exact same section of society that already relatively paying the most and expect to be hit the hardest, according to the MSN today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adrian of the Fountain says, what would you recommend if you don't want to lose savings when inflation really hits? Well, you've got to buy property.
Yeah.
That's basically how it works.
Yeah, but lots of people aren't in the position where they're able to do that, sadly. So,
You're getting screwed by the government. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah, we're all getting screwed. Henry again, I'm waiting for the Tories to try and adopt the Democrat idea of applying capital gains tax on unrealized gains. Yeah, we should have talked about this as well.
I think I saw that where it's like if you have $100, then you get $500. And then you lose the, so it's back to 100, then you're getting taxed, what, like 50?
No. It's unrealized capital gains. So basically, if you own some stock and you could sell it for X amount, then that amount is what they want to tax you on, even though you haven't sold it. Yeah, I know. It's absurd. So the premise amounts to, you bought a house for 100K, but if you sold it now, it's worth 200K. So we want to tax that potential gain every year until you sell it.
Wow.
They want to tax you on a transaction you haven't made yet.
That's just taxing you on imaginary money.
Yes.
Wow.
It's awful. The justification seems to be that city folk who don't own anything will be behind it because it will never affect them. Well, I don't care about them. Christ, you know?
Yeah, I mean, John had a good point you just put up there. If they keep printing money and you get 400, and now you're, because of inflation, it's worth 400,000, congratulations, you're getting that unrealized gains tax.
Yeah, and now, yeah, so if you bought your house for 100K, they print a bunch of money, it's now worth 400K. You're 300K in the hole.
So they're trying...
And you've just stood there, you're like, what?
They're just trying to generate their own infinite money loop right there.
Well, they're going to turn you into vassals who have to end up giving up your houses. It's theft. It's open theft, as John's pointing out. It's absolute theft. But anyway, yeah, this is just awful. Absolutely awful. I mean, he gives a great example here. It would be used to boot out the old little lady in a London house that she bought in 1940 for 2 shillings and 6 pence because that gentrified road is now worth 2 million a house and they'd get taxed on it until they move. It's mad. Yeah. So it's such an obviously predatory practice. Silas says, how do you do, fellow conservatives? A Tory MP opening a speech advocating exclusively socialist policies circa 2021. I've got an article that I've put in for Rory to proofread that's going to be coming out about, not about this specifically, but it's generally about the absolute state of the Conservative Party. I can't stand it. Free Will says, I used to be a Tory party member. I ended my membership last year, but they recently invited me to buy raffle tickets to win a signed copy of the budget. I declined. I mean, maybe if you win a signed copy of the budget, you could burn it.
Yeah. Like, if you run out of toilet paper, you know, you're sorted.
Create an effigy of Rishi Sunak. With a signed copy of the budget.
I mean, November 5th is coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go, sorted.
Yeah. You know, you've actually got something to do there. S.H. Silver, the Conservatives are doing whatever they wanted. Carl, they're doing what they want. The Tories are the party of globalist neoliberals. Yeah, I know. Mm. I know. Just I don't like hearing it. They're not populists or traditionalists, and definitely not liberals. Yeah, I know. Steve Baker's just crying. Just yeah. I can't believe there aren't Steve Baker memes of just this screaming face Wojak. Whereas, you know, the eyes are bleeding, and it's just like, yeah, come on, Steve. Come on, Steve. What are you going to do? You know, how can you stay in a party like this? They want you to be eternal renters to their corporate buddies and sucking on the government teat, so you will never think about getting them out of power. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Yeah, they really are just Tony Blair's children.
The Tories seem to... Klaus Schwab, aren't they?
They are. They absolutely are. And, oh, God, I hate the way this country's going sometimes. Justin says, the Tories seem to have borrowed Biden's money printer. Yes, they have. My thing hasn't loaded up the Kentucky comments.
They're borrowing our money.
Yeah, well, not borrowing.
They're just stealing it. Yep.
I mean, every day I get closer to the taxationist theft position.
I think Josh is writing an article on that currently.
He's not wrong, then.
No, he isn't. I can go through the rest of the comments. Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, yeah. So Rhys says, why is it that we never learn from history? Overspending and printing money didn't work in 1920s America and Weimar Germany, 1990s Japan, and led to the 2008 financial crisis. Seems like we're heading back to the 1970s, and unfortunately, it seems like there isn't going to be a Thatcher to bring back our economy. Absolutely right.
I mean, I assume it's just because they don't know what else to do, right? Man with a hammer, I can print money. Well, yeah. I mean, everything's a nail in print, 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 brr. You know, I can only assume it's that. They feel that they have to do something. And, you know, screwing everyone over is one thing.
There's no conservative principles that they could fall back on, sadly.
Well,
in their own heads.
As S.H. Silver pointed out, they're not conservatives. Yeah. And he's right.
Callum says, hey-o, bit late to the podcast, but the first thing I hear coming in is the idea of a liberal government is more desirable than a fascist government and avoid the...
I mean, yes.
Yeah, and the reflection of what part of our personal lives the government hasn't intruded into. Should have mentioned Scotland and Wales in that. We do have it worst, and the constant blaming of Brexit, get wrecked invalids.
That's right, yes. In England, it is slightly less worse than in Scotland and Wales.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we are surrounded, though, and the Tory government is not known currently for having spines made of steel.
I mean, I literally can't leave the country at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to.
Well, I mean, yeah, where would you go?
But yeah, like, exactly.
You know, I'm not allowed, even if I wanted to.
I'd maybe go
get to Greece on holiday or something, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
There's got to be somewhere in, like, the middle of Asia.
Where are those people who keep sending us sucks to be you video comments? Yeah. We'll go there. I forget exactly where it is. Denmark. Yeah, we could go. Yes. We could all take a trip to Denmark, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but David Fisher says, if the record shop owner wants to increase the wages of employees, why does he need the government to force him? Good question.
I love this assumes that the record shop owner has employees.
Yeah,
a small record shop. He might just be managing it himself.
Yeah, it might just be him. Maybe you get some, like, family members to come in and help every so often. But once again, it's pushing on, like, oh, it's Brexit's fault. Oh, it's all these other external factors, when it's just like, well, these positions that they've pushed on you from all of the lockdowns and everything, that's what in affected you, really. Kevin Fox, on November 1st in Thailand, 80,000 truck drivers are striking for the day. Well, that was at least reduced the road death toll for the day because they want the government to cap diesel at 25 baht, 55 pence a litre. Wow.
But again, if there's one thing that history shows us, it's that state-imposed maximum prices do not work.
No.
And this goes back to, as far as, like, the Edict of Diocletian, they just don't work. Just doesn't work. It doesn't happen. You can't resist this sort of thing.
Yep, Free Will says, you feel like we are still being governed by Tony Blair, more like Beavis and Butthead.
I feel like Beavis and Butthead would be less intrusive.
I feel like they'd be more dignified as well, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, that, but also they'd interfere with my life less, I feel.
Yeah, they'd just let us get on with it. Baron von Warkhawk, when it comes to how your British government is spending your tax money, do you now understand why the Founding Fathers started a war to avoid paying their taxes? Yes, but... But, what was it, a 3% tax that they were avoiding?
I thought it was a 1% stamp tax.
Something ridiculously low, and how's that going for you now, America?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, can you even remember what that was like? Because, you know, we can't.
I mean, but, 0, 0, 0.
Yeah, but if it helps, I'm very sympathetic to the American revolutionaries about no taxation without representation, and I think that could just be truncated to no taxation. No taxation. No taxation.
get your hands out of my wallet, government.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Michelle says this wage raises such grift. By increasing your wage, you're bumped up to a higher tax bracket, and oftentimes the increase in tax leaves you with less than you started with. But yeah, for government, saving us. Absolutely right. People have pointed out that I think the tax brackets are remaining static. So when you get that pay rise, yeah, you're going to be taxed more for it.
Yeah. Fucking... Sorry, I shouldn't swear, but I was going to say brilliant. Just absolutely...
It's tempting.
It's insufferable. And the thing is, it's not like the BBC article had a waitress being like, well, this doesn't help me at all. You know, this is no help whatsoever. Would you please stop screaming? It's not like people don't know. You know, it's like if people totally economically illiterate and couldn't see anything, well, okay, maybe, you know. But everyone can see it's happening. Anyway, Baron von Warhawk. Well, now I want to tear my eyes out about what's happening in Kentucky is nothing new. There has been a massive push by the elites to sexualize children for years now. Why do you think those music videos on YouTube have half-naked people dancing around and blatantly sexual lyrics like WAP? It is to introduce sex early to children and get them more open to the advance of pedophiles and their horrible perversions. QAnon doesn't sound so crazy now, huh? Well, I mean, there's definitely a push to sexualize children. Cardi B was doing some sort of Instagram live thing, and her song was on, and her daughter came in while the song was on, and she shut the song off and got her daughter out.
Oh, wow.
Won't even let her daughter listen to her own song.
Cardi B is more responsible around children than the Kentucky mayors of Kentucky towns.
Probably.
Wow.
David says, lap dance for the staff, open, honest paedophilia on show to all see. Well, to be fair, they were 16, so I don't think you can call it paedophilia, but
I think there's another term for it.
It doesn't matter what the term is. It's a deeply irresponsible thing that the adults have done, and gross. Yeah,
hugely inappropriate.
Should we now see people arrested and been made an example of the organisers and participants?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, if arrests aren't legally warranted, at least being fired, Come on, what? Make an example.
Do the parents want these people around their children? I wouldn't.
No. Totally irresponsible. it's one thing being debauched by, wider society or their peer group or whatever. But it's another one, it's the principal and mayor of the town. M1 Ping says, the Department of Justice will probably call any parents who object to the lap dances domestic terrorists. Yes, they probably will.
Yeah.
Snowdog says, make the next generation soft, it makes it all too easy to conquer them. Yep. Angel Brain says, update to my own Twerks of Hazard moment. I should have called it that. Maybe I'll call it that when we upload it to YouTube. Having checked the age of consent in Kentucky, it is 16, but there's still a huge violation of safeguarding. That's correct. Adults in that position shouldn't be encouraging sexualized behavior from their charges. It doesn't help that it looks like a scene from the film Salo, 120 Days in Sodom. Yes, exactly. And it is probably that it's not illegal, but it is... on the age of consent. Yeah,
not to sound too much like a leftist, but there is the whole power imbalance of this is the mayor of the town.
Exactly.
And you are a young, vulnerable, probably highly naive 16-year-old.
Yes. And a violation of safeguarding indeed. Alistair says, at this rate, I'm thinking that complete school abolition might be on the table. No. State school abolition. Because, we haven't had state schools since, the dawn of time. These are a moderately recent invention. And you can just go back for paying for your own children's education. And hey, guess what? They can lower your taxes. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, hey.
Hayden says, the parents of that pedo school need to be pressing charges against the mayor and principal and all of the teachers involved. Yes. Even if it didn't turn out the way that it did, they decided to have a male pageant in the first place, which obviously meant sexualized children and feminized young men. This is sexual abuse and grooming, and all involved need to have their whole life investigated. The fact they're so comfortable with it tells you that there is much more going on here. I would definitely be inclined to think so. Silas says, that principal is having the time of his life. I'm sure he only grudgingly accepted the lap dance since the students insisted. Yeah, exactly. The student's just insisting, oh, dear principal, can we please give you a lap dance? Oh, go on then. come on, this is ridiculous.
Who do you think you're fooling?
Yeah, exactly. You're there, ha, ha, ha. No, you were having a good time. There was nothing he could do. It's not like he was in charge or anything. Makes me sick. These effers are just joyously clapping away in disbelief about the fact they can freely exploit children with the approval of the mayor, no less. Well, he was the mayor, so my mistake on that one. Best day of their sordid lives. Yes. And what we'll go for the last one. Carbohydrate Crusader. Hello, Load Seaters. Would you guys be able to wish my fiance Chrissy a happy birthday? All the best, fellas. Have a good one. Happy birthday, Chrissy.
Happy birthday.
And I guess we'll stop there.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for tuning into this episode of the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. Be sure to check us out. Check out the articles and videos that we were talking about earlier. And if you like us, check us out on Facebook, give us a like on Facebook, and follow us on Getter and Gab, yep, alternative social media.
And Instagram, and we're on everything, yeah, basically.
We're
follow us.
We're everywhere. You'll be able to find us wherever you look. But thank you very much for tuning in. Be sure to check us out again tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Until then, have a good day.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.